Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. We just chatted about 12 hours ago. We usually don't do two episodes in a row that quickly, but in special circumstances, we will. And if you're a Rockets fan and you're on Twitter or even watching SportsCenter, I think you know there are some special circumstances because things have changed dramatically since our last podcast. The news, of course, first broken by Ramona Shelburne and Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN that the Knicks are pausing trade talks with Carmelo Anthony, later confirmed by Mark Berman of the New York Post. If you haven't read his story at nypost.com, I strongly urge you to do so, because I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But the bottom line is, these negotiations are in a different place now than we thought they were even 12 hours ago, when it seemed like imminent was too strong of a word, but it sounded like there was very much positive momentum for a deal. Whereas now, exactly what's going on depends on who you trust, what your interpretation of certain events are. But it's pretty clear the Knicks are not comfortable with any of the deals on the table, which it doesn't mean that a deal is not going to come. In fact, I still think it's more likely than not that by October, 17th, whenever the season starts, Carmelo will be wearing a Houston Rockets uniform. But in terms of the rhythm of a deal to get it done by Sunday or Monday, I, at this point, don't find that to be reasonable. So you have to look at the wording of the reports, and I'll start with ESPN, because that's where it broke. The news was that the Knicks actually want to have a conversation with Carmelo about potentially reincorporating him into the organization. And that's really bizarre, of course, because for weeks, the Knicks have been trying to push Carmelo out the door. They, as much as anyone, have been motivated to deal him to Houston. So how much does it make sense for them to suddenly do a 180-degree turn? I know they have a new GM, but he's still going to be reporting to Steve Mills, still going to be reporting to owner James Dolan. The underlying dynamics have not changed, so why in the world would Carmelo suddenly flip his thinking 180 degrees? Now, I know in the past there have been some situations in which Carmelo has walked back into the fold after being open to a deal, but things never got even remotely this far. They're pretty down the road. So the way the ESPN report was worded was that essentially the Knicks wanted him to have the conversation, and because they used qualifiers like paused for a short time, then if Carmelo tells them that his approach is still the same, that he wants out, that the talks could easily be revived. That's kind of the rosy way to look at it, and that's why I didn't want to do a podcast immediately after the report, because that seems almost too good to be true. The way that's written is that, yeah, if Carmelo just tells them, hey, I still want out, then these talks, which is that the talks with the Rockets specifically were advanced and had gained traction, then you can reboot those. But to take the step of pausing negotiations, leaking that to the media, there's usually something a little more at play. And I think the article from Mark Berman of the New York Post gets into the true heart of the matter a little more, which he says, yeah, they're going to talk to him about potentially staying with the organization, but their real goal is to get him to expand his list of teams, effectively saying that with Houston and Cleveland the only options, and Cleveland unwilling to deal Kevin Love, the Knicks are not comfortable with any of the deals on the table, and the optimal scenario for them would be if the Knicks, Carmelo, it would expand his list to give them more options to deal him. And that, to me, reflects more, and I'm not just saying this based on my opinion, I've also talked to some folks in the last 12 hours on both sides of the situation, trying to get a better feel for what's going on, and I think that's where we're headed. The good news is that I feel strongly, after some initial concern about is Carmelo going to walk back to the Knicks again, I've talked to some people. I feel very confident that Carmelo still wants Houston, and Houston still wants Carmelo. So the force that's driven the talk so far is still there. And I don't even think it's a matter of Chris Paul and James Harden needing to firm things up with Carmelo. Things are pretty far down the road. Carmelo thinks he's going to Houston. That's why I reported yesterday that his people up here to have made real estate inquiries here. He wants to go here. The Rockets want him. And in a league where stars tend to get their way over the long haul, I'm still optimistic that that's going to lead to a deal. And you look at things from the Knicks side, that's where things get interesting, because it's easy for them to say, well, we feel boxed in, we want him to increase his list. But they're responsible for the list being that small. They're the ones that gave him the no-trade clause. They're the ones that gave him the player option next summer. So they boxed themselves, and it's not Carmelo being the bad guy. It's something that they easily could have foreseen and yet gave the contract anyway to a guy who, while a very good player, is probably not a franchise player worthy of that level of commitment. So they only have themselves to blame. It's important to remember that Carmelo is not the bad guy here. But what's going to be interesting, in my opinion, does Carmelo give them a face-to-face or does he just take a phone call? That really doesn't matter, because if you read the Mark Berman report, and I've heard similar things from people close to this deal, no one expects that Carmelo's attitude is going to realistically change. The subtext that's worth monitoring, and Mark Berman mentions it in the New York Post story, is that the Knicks feel like they could get even more benefit from him playing out the season and opting out than taking what they consider a bad deal, which could be, depending on exactly what they're getting in the package involving Houston, Portland, and a fourth team, it could be the four-team deal with Houston. So no one is, at this stage, publicly saying, we will hold Carmelo there against his will. But in my opinion, that's an under-the-radar threat that is going to be made. And you can see it laid out in Mark Berman's story, in which the Knicks consider that they might rather the cap relief of him staying in 2018 than taking a deal with Houston that they're not crazy about. And maybe Scott Perry is involved in that, the new GM that they're getting from the Sacramento Kings, pending an agreement on compensation. So as far as where we go from here, the Knicks are going to have a meeting of some sorts with Carmelo, but I don't think that Carmelo is going to suddenly show a willingness to go back to New York. In fact, my guess is that Carmelo is going to be more angry than ever, because for weeks now, the Knicks have let the Rockets do the legwork on this deal. The Knicks have shown a willingness to deal him. They've let Carmelo get even closer to the Rockets. And all of a sudden, at the 11th hour, it's yanked out from under him. Sorry, Carmelo's not going to be willing to say, oh, I understand, guys, let's make up, or I'll expand my list. No, the Knicks are responsible for why Carmelo thought he was going to Houston. That's exactly why the perception is what it is. The Knicks told people with Carmelo's camp that they were going to find a way to make this happen. How many reports have there been that the Knicks are optimistic that a deal is going to get done? We have heard it time and time again that even though a deal was, quote, not imminent, that everyone was optimistic. And that's because the Knicks constantly reassured over and over again. Well, folks, Carmelo's not going to be happy. You don't let a star player think that a deal is done, let him go as far down the road as looking for real estate in Houston, and then pull the rug out from under him at the 11th hour, and then all of a sudden think that he's going to be Mr. Nice Guy and work with you. I think that report, which is how it read at first at ESPN, and that's why I didn't do a podcast initially after, sounded almost too good to be true, because of course Carmelo is not going to change his mind. And I feel even more strongly than that now after talking to a few people than I did initially last night. Of course he's not going to change his mind. So if it were that simple, okay, you go back to the table and talks with Houston had clearly gotten a lot further than talks with Cleveland, so then you close the deal.
Somewhere deep inside your mind, there's a place where dreams live. And now those dreams have the chance to come to life, because USAA Life Insurance is sponsoring the Live Your Dreams sweepstakes, where you could win $50,000. That's $50,000 to let those dreams out of your head and into your hands. Enter for a chance to win and view official rules at www.usaa.com/lifesweeps or call 1-800-531-LIFE.
No purchase necessary. USAA Life Insurance Company, San Antonio, Texas, and in New York, by USAA Life Insurance Company of New York, Highland Falls, New York.
The reality is that I don't think it's that simple. I think that even though they're not saying it at this point, because this is all a little bit of a PR game and they don't want to take a hit in the media, the subtext to this is that the Knicks are weighing the potential of keeping him and him walking after the year versus doing a deal that they're not crazy about. So the bottom line is that at this point, it's hardball. It's a leverage game. There's a little bit of a stare down going on. And so the people connected to Carmelo are going to have to do a little bit of posturing. I think that's the way this deal gets done. And Carmelo's got very good agents. They've played this game a long time, and I trust that they know what to do. But in my opinion, what Carmelo needs to do is make clear that while, yes, he still wants out, because no one wants an unhappy player around, secondly, he can point out that just like his friend Dwayne Wade, and we know Carmelo and Wade have been hanging out this week, that Anthony cannot promise that he will opt out next summer. Because for a 34-year-old opting into, what, a $27 million deal the next year, it's not a guarantee that he's going to get anything close to that on a per-year basis on the open market, especially with the salary cap further contracting next year. So the Knicks, in a world where they could control Carmelo and they knew exactly what was going to happen, is he opting out in 2018? Is he staying through 2019? Then if he opted out in 2018, they'd get the cap relief. If they knew he was opting in through 2019, they'd at least have the certainty and they could potentially look to trade him again at the deadline or next summer. But the play for Carmelo, in my opinion, is uncertainty. To just say, hey, I'm going to be unhappy, and he should be because they've screwed him around on this one, but give them no promises on what he's going to do in the future. Because the long game, which is what I think we all need to prepare ourselves for, I do think the Knicks have more to lose. That's why ultimately I do think this deal still happens. Because first off, if you let Carmelo and this spectacle go to training camp, it's going to be a mess. The Knicks have obviously committed to rebuilding around younger players. You see them talk a lot about Tim Hardaway Jr., Kristaps Porzingis, and the spectacle of an unhappy Melo being followed around by the New York media every day. That's not good for anyone's development. That's the first thing. From a chemistry standpoint, you don't want an unhappy player. Secondly, as much as they talk a big game about the potential for cap relief next summer and moving on, they have no control over that end of the process. They gave that control to Carmelo in his contract. So whether they have cap room in 2018 is solely dependent on what Carmelo decides. And my guess is he's not going to give them any assurances one way or the other right now. So yeah, they can talk a big game. They can say, they can play tough and pretend like that they're willing to take the risk. But at the end of the day, it is a risk. And so you combine that with the reality that an unhappy Carmelo probably makes things worse for them on the floor, makes them even more of a joke in the local and national media. And they probably have more to lose, especially relative to the Rockets, who at this point with Chris Paul and James Harden, they can go back to work with the roster they have now, including Ryan Anderson, who was a very valuable player for them last year, especially if you look at the on-off numbers. And I think right now the Rockets are clearly the second-best team in the West, and things are going to be just fine even if they don't do this trade. So I think there's more for the Knicks to lose here. It might take a little bit of time, but ultimately, if Carmelo stares them down, and my hunch is that he will, I think the odds are still pretty good that he ends up in Houston. Unfortunately, my suspicion is that it's going to take weeks rather than days, because I think the report about just asking him to rejoin the organization is a little too rosy. I think the truth is closer to the Mark Berman report, which is that the Knicks are unhappy with what they're getting in return. They want to talk about potentially getting him to widen his list, and the subtext to that is that the Knicks can essentially threaten either directly or indirectly that, hey, if you don't widen your list, then we can just keep you. That you don't get traded at all, and you're stuck here. And the bottom line is, for folks around the trade, I think it's pretty clear that the Knicks have more to lose, and even if they try and play hardball and walk away from the table for a week, two, a month, whatever it may be, there are so many forces at play that it seems highly unlikely that they would let Carmelo actually report to training camp with them in mid-September. At some point, they would re-engage, even if they have to swallow their pride to do so. A third factor to consider in this, in addition to the other two, on why I think the Knicks ultimately do a deal with the Rockets, is Carmelo's a powerful guy. And this isn't just a matter of the Knicks saying, well, these offers aren't good enough for us. Folks, the leaks that we've heard every day for so long, the players around this deal thinking it's done, They're there for a reason. The Knicks have been the team leaking it. It's not the Rockets. The Rockets have been fairly hush-lipped about this. It's the Knicks that have continually leaked over and over again their confidence in getting a deal done, with the Rockets in particular. They're taking a, you know, one of the NBA's top 10 brands. I would definitely call Carmelo a top 10 brand, and basically screwing around with him. There's no other way that I can think of to put it. That's a fair characterization from how the deal's talks have been described to me. They have pulled the rug out from under him. And when you're talking about a player of that stature that you committed to being your franchise player, that does not make your organization look good at all. I don't care if the return isn't good enough. Folks, part of the reason return isn't good is because of the no-trade clause, the player option, all the things the Knicks gave him. They've boxed themselves in on the return. So it's not the Rockets lowballing. It's not Carmelo being mean with the no-trade clause. It's their own fault. Secondly, the Knicks over and over again have reassured his people that they were open to this deal, that they were working with the Rockets, which is where Carmelo wants to go. You go back on your word, and not only does that make you look bad with Carmelo, but folks around the league, Carmelo's representation, other agents around the league are seeing this as basically a joke of an organization. In contrast, think back to the deadline. One of the reasons that the Lakers traded Lou Williams to Houston, even though Houston's first-round pick was low and there were other first-round pick offers on the table to Magic Johnson, one of the priorities for Magic Johnson was to get the Lakers back in high regard with the agent community around the league. And so essentially he did a solid to Lou, a veteran, on his way out the door, let him pick his destination to basically get favors down the line, to get back in the good graces of his representation and others around the league, for basically the Lakers to be seen as player-friendly. This is the complete opposite of that. This is essentially saying, yeah, Carmelo, you can pick your destination. We'll work with them, as the Knicks have done for 2 or 3 weeks now behind the scenes, and saying, yeah, we're going to do this, and then pulling the rug out from under him at the 11th hour. That is not how you deal with players in the NBA. That is terrible management. And if they keep him there in New York against his will after doing all that, it's going to reflect incredibly, incredibly poorly. And even if they get cap room, I don't know who in their right mind would sign there for Steve Mills and James Dolan under the administration as it's being run now. Now, ultimately, if and when a deal gets done, none of this stuff really matters long term, as long as Carmelo gets to Houston. That's why I think ultimately cooler heads will prevail, because as long as the Knicks ultimately send him there before training camp, then the narrative's not going to matter. This awkward delay between early July and August, September, whatever it is. At the end of the day, if Carmelo gets to Houston without missing any regular season games, people will forgive and forget, and people will be understanding of the fact that the Knicks were in an awkward position. They didn't get that much in return, considering the value of Carmelo, et cetera, et cetera. So the Knicks, that's another factor why I think a deal gets done. They can still undo this. But in my opinion, if they don't do that, it's going to reflect poorly around agents on the league. They're not going to have any cap certainty, and because of the player option. And, of course, you're going to have an unhappy Carmelo potentially spoiling chemistry with a lot of young players that they want to build more rapport with, get more touches, et cetera, et cetera. So in closing, I'll say this. As I see it, it's a good news, bad news situation. The good news, after talking to people involved with this deal, I feel confident that Carmelo still wants Houston, and Houston still wants Carmelo. Nothing is going to change that underlying framework. And I don't even think it's a matter, as I said earlier, of Chris or James needing to make a phone call to Carmelo to firm things up, as I alluded to at one point last night. You know, things are already pretty firm. The folks around the deal are every bit as surprised as we are to hear that report from the Knicks. So as long as Carmelo wants to get to Houston, it's a players' league. Things have a funny way of eventually working out the way the players want them to. So because of that, I'm optimistic that a deal is going to get done. In fact, I still consider it highly likely, in my opinion, that Carmelo Anthony will report to training camp with the Houston Rockets, not the New York Knicks, once we get to September. The negative is that I don't believe the picture is as rosy as some made it seem with the initial ESPN report. Because if it's as simple as saying, well, Carmelo, will you come back to us? Then he just says no, and all of a sudden we're right back where we were. I don't think that's the case. I think the New York Post story is closer to the reality, which is that the Knicks don't really have any hope of convincing him to come back, nor do they want him to. They're simply hoping to get him to expand his trade list. And the subtext to that is the underlying potential that if he doesn't expand his trade list, that the Knicks can say, hey, we'll just keep you and take the cap relief. And it's a threat that could have some validity, but ultimately, I just think the Knicks have too much to lose to actually adopt that path. They can adopt that as a temporary position in July, because we still have August and September before you get to training camp. So for now, they can put out there that that's a path they're willing to take. But when push comes to shove, when they actually have to move, in my opinion, there's too much to lose from taking that path. So I am not believing that they would actually do that. I think they're willing to either directly or indirectly threaten to do that, just don't think they're willing to go through with it, especially if Carmelo plays this as he should. And as I said, with Carmelo, it's pretty simple. You say, I don't want to be here. I want the trade to Houston. And then when he's asked about, well, what will you do in the summer of 2018? Keep it vague, keep it noncommittal, and remind them that you have no control over this. And depending on what the market does at that time, he could easily do what Dwayne Wade did in Chicago, his good friend, and just opt in for the money. So remind the Knicks that, hey, you've got something to lose too, because you have no control over this process. And between that, I think ultimately Carmelo gets what he wants and is a Houston Rocket by training camp. But in my opinion, it's going to be closer to weeks than days, because the report last night definitely threw folks for a loop. And I wouldn't get too hung up on the wording of short time, pause, stuff like that. No, what's really going on is the Knicks are making a public declaration that they're not prepared to accept a deal that's being proposed right now. They're not happy with the offers, and so they're going to take one more look around to see if they have any way to improve their leverage. Ultimately, I don't think they do, but with this being relatively early in the offseason, I think all of us are unfortunately going to have to let them throw their temper tantrum, let them pull their stunt for a couple of months. They're the Knicks for a reason. This is one of the worst organizations in sports in the last 10 to 20 years, and you're just going to have to let them go through this process before ultimately I'm fairly confident that they will come back to the table. So with that said, I will leave the podcast right there. As always, thanks to you guys for listening. Don't want to go on too long, because I'll probably have another one for you either later today or tomorrow regarding the Chris Paul press conference. We're going to hear from him for the first time later today at Toyota Center. I'm sure the name Carmelo will come up. It'll have to be indirect, because technically no one on the record can comment on a player that's under contract with another team. But I'm sure many of us, myself included, will try to ask it in veiled terms, and we'll see what not just Chris Paul, but Daryl Morey, Les Alexander, Mike D'Antoni have to say. So don't want to go on for too long, because we do have that to look forward to. So if you stick with me here at Locked On Rockets, we'll have more coverage on that in the hours ahead. For now, though, I hope you guys have a good Friday. Look forward to seeing some of you at Toyota Center, hopefully. Got to have dollar hot dogs, dollar nachos for the press conference. So if you're there, tweet me at Ben Dubose. Would love to see you. Come say hello. Also, if you're not already following the show on Twitter, please do so at Locked On Rockets. And also, you can always email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program. One last plug, in addition to the Chris Paul stuff, and I'll be tweeting out videos and quotes as the press conference moves along, starting at 2 p.m. Houston time. In addition to that, I've got a column on the Chris Paul signing going on sports790.com later today. That's the website for Sports Talk 790, the official flagship of the Rockets here in Houston. And the peg of that story is going to be why, folks, you don't need to worry about Chris Paul's contract. Yes, he's signed only through 2018, but he's definitely thinking long-term in Houston already, that this is a multi-year partnership between him, James Harden, and hopefully Carmelo Anthony as well. But I've seen a little too much made about the need to convince Chris Paul to re-sign, when in reality, in his mind, Chris Paul has already signed for a lot longer than just this upcoming season. So based on whatever he says today at the press conference, I'm going to have a column on that going up on Sports Talk 790's website later today, and hope you guys can read that as well. For now, though, I will sign off. Hope you guys enjoy your Friday, and I'll be back either later today or tomorrow to break down my thoughts from the Chris Paul press conference.